Hello, Darren. Thanks for joining me today on the Psychology Report. School bullying. Bullying at school and the school playground is my topic today. You know, we have had an enormous amount of uprising in our schools and our school playgrounds before school, after school, and during recess, in which the behavior in which is engaged in is what we know as bullying. One student picks on another student. And now that's been done for all the years of education, I'm sure, and all the years of childhood. But it's different today. It's done in the school, it's done in the public arena, and it's more vicious, it's more hurtful, it's not teasing anymore, it's now just hostile behavior. That's bullying. Now, bullying always it takes place when one person is stronger than another, stronger in might, stronger in muscle, bigger in size, weighs more than the other, has more power in the peer group arrangement than the one who is bullied, comes from a home in which he's probably been bullied himself. Bullies, the kids who bully have been bullied themselves at home. You know, or big brother bullies them, uncle bullies them, father bullies them, mother bullies them, siblings bully them, friends bully them. Kids who bully have been bullied. That's how they learn it. And there's kind of a progression. There's a generational drop here from going one generation to the next when it comes to bullying behavior. A strong kid always picks on a weaker kid. A bigger kid always picks on a smaller kid. The kid who looks a little different, dyes his hair long, skinny, small, nerdy looking. These are the kids who are bullied. And they're bullied by those who seem to view themselves as having the power of the classroom. We used to call it the big guy on campus, the big man on campus. They become the bully. And we got to do something about that. So a study was done, just to kind of get a better handle on it. A study was done a couple years back and published in the Journal of School Psychology. And the study took place in 2011-2013, in which they surveyed 780,000 students in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grades. So we have 780,000 students being surveyed to fill out a questionnaire as to whether they've been harassed or bullied and whether they felt safe at school or not. And what they found is that there's a total number of absences for the 7th through the 12th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade students in a year, pardon me, per month, of 630,000. Now, let me put it differently. 630,000 kids are absent one day a month because they feel unsafe. And those kids represent grades 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. So you have 630,000 students missing a day of school. Well, that doesn't seem like much, does it? One day? Well, that's one day per month. And most months have that same kind of a pattern. Different kids, perhaps some of the same kids, but where they feel unsafe. Now, what does that represent in terms of the loss? You know, school districts are paid by the state, in this case, the state of California, on the number of students that are in school per day, per class. And they do an averaging, and then they melt out a certain amount of money to the school districts because of the size of the school, the number of students are in school. They don't do it by accomplishment. They don't do it by progress or achievement. They don't do it by the quality of the school teaching. They don't do it by the quality of the teacher. They don't recognize any of that good stuff. All they recognize is whether a kid shows up in class or not. And then that school district is paid so many dollars per student for showing up in school that particular day. Now, if you have a kid who's absent one day a month, and we have 630,000 of them across the state of California, That represents a loss to the school district, school districts, of about $275 million annually. In other words, the state does not give out $275 million a year to the various school districts because they have students who are missing school at the average of once a month, and it's the reason that these kids don't feel safe at school because they're being bullied or the threat of being bullied. So bullying behavior is a very expensive behavior for school districts. And I'm surprised because of that, that the school districts have not come up with a program or have not addressed this issue and do not address this issue. I'm aware of kids being bullied, and I'm aware that schools are aware of it. I have contacted schools, and no action is taken. So they're just overlooking it, and they're letting a kid go by week upon week, month upon month, being absent from school, and the school district losing that money. It's a savings to the state. So I'm sure the governor is happy to have these kids out of school because he saves money. That money goes to him, to the state, rather than out to the school districts. Now, that isn't the only loss. We can say, okay, the school districts, you know, lose $275 million a year because of bullying behavior and kids missing school because they feel unsafe. Oh, okay, that's one cost. That's just what the schools miss out. That's what they cost to the school districts. But what about the cost to parents? You know, if a kid is bullied, your kid is bullied, that means you're probably going to take that kid to a doctor. Okay, so you got a doctor's appointment. That means you're probably going to put that kid in some kind of a counseling or therapy program, right? So that means maybe 5-10 sessions there. Okay? That means you're going to bill some of that to the insurance company. So the insurance companies are going to have an expense, obviously, to pay out for the therapy. And we're going to lose some kids in the process. Because one of the motivators or one of the triggers for suicide among teenagers is bullying behavior. Kids who are bullied tend to commit suicide more than anybody else. I asked a student the other day in my office, just graduating from high school. I said, what is it that drives these kids to commit suicide? I told her about 7 kids that had committed suicide in the course of the previous 2 weeks. She said, bullying. And I was just like, it was matter of fact. She never gave it a thought. It came right out of her mouth, bullying. So kids themselves know that bully behavior leads to suicide. So what are we doing about this? What are schools doing about this? You know, we have a huge cost to the schools, huge cost to parents. Mother and dad may have to take off a day off school, make sure that the kid gets the therapy, or take part of the day off of school and lose some money there. So there's a lot of cost factors that enter in and are not being addressed, and these kids are not being helped. So it's not only the therapy for the kid who's bullied, but what about the bully? Who's dealing with the bully? Who's taking care of the bully behavior or student? Who's addressing that? Who's somehow going to the schools and finding these kids who bully others and make sure that they get treatment, make sure that they get some kind of help so that kind of behavior stops? So here's some of the ways that this could be done. If a kid bullies at school, somebody complains that a kid is bullying somebody else at school, we should invoke what we call the three-strike rule. He gets a warning, and he gets detention, and he gets sent home, and there's a parent conference. That's number one. If he does it again and gets caught, that's number two. That's strike number two. He loses school. He's got to do some therapy. He's got to do some time out of school. He's got to be referred to to a therapist for an evaluation, and follow a therapy program that's recommended. And if the third strike happens, out of the school he goes. No more public school education or normal private school education for that person. Whatever school he's in, that school is done. He's done with that particular school. In other words, there's got to be a consequence. Three strikes. First strike, second strike, and third strike. And there are no four strikes. Okay? There are no four strikes. Because if he can't be in school, and he can't stop, and he can't stop bullying others, then he doesn't go to school and he has to go to homeschool. That's homeschooling. That's your fourth strike. He has to enroll in homeschooling and cannot be part of the social system until such time he's been fully rehabilitated, and that will take a year or more. So that's what schools have to do. They should give, teachers should spend a little time in class just talking about bully behavior. And when kids are not bullied, if you have no bully kid in your classroom, you should praise those kids and thank them. And any bully kid has to be dealt with in a lecture hall. Maybe there should be set up a lecture after school, an after school program in which somebody talks to all the kids who have problems that particular week. And they have to attend a lecture on social skills and social intelligence and get their life back in order. So something has to be done. Schools can do a lot of different things. They can intervene in a lot of different ways. But we have to recognize that a lot of kids do not bully, and they need to be praised, they need to be approved, they need to be put up as a model. But if your kid is a bully behavior kid, then you as a parent have to do some things, the school has to do some things, and here are a couple things that, certainly, can be done. So it cannot be overlooked. That's the main thing. Cannot be overlooked. Bully behavior is too significant in our world today. We have kids who die as a result of being bullied. That's not good. See? We have costs to the school. We have costs to the parents. We have costs to insurance companies. And everybody pays, a fee, if you will, for kids who bully. And the one that pays the most is the kid who's bullied. The little kid who's picked on and bullied. He pays the greatest price of all. Perhaps an emotional distress throughout the rest of his life. Certainly for a long period of time. These kids that are bullied suffer. And they suffer to the point that many even commit suicide. And that's not a good thing. So if you're connected with a school, bring it up and get a school policy. If you're a teacher, bring it forward and make sure your school policy is in effect and it works and it's being implemented. If you're in a school where there is no policy, make sure that you get your teacher and your principals and your superintendents on board and develop a policy and take the lead and help, putting a policy, together. There's a number of books on bullying behavior, number of books on what schools can do about bully behavior. I mean, we are not without information. There are a lot of experts that are out there that can consult with the school district and develop a bully behavior policy. For this school. So if you're a teacher, take responsibility when you go back to school now in the fall and make sure that the bully behavior issue is addressed in your school. And don't let your school go through another year without a policy, without a procedure, without a way to implement a plan and a program. So we identify who the bully is and we identify who's being bullied and we help them differently. But we do provide the help. It's costly to provide help, but it's more costly to ignore it and just let it go on. Okay, this has been Dr. Hedberg with the Psychology Report on Bully Behavior. And go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. My book, Dr. Teach Me to Parent, addresses this issue of bully behavior. There's a chapter in there. So pick up the book. It may be of help, to you. My book on healthcare may also be of help. It also addresses this kind of behavior of creating stress for children and what it does to children when they live under stress. So that book is entitled Achieving and Living a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. So there's two books coming from my website, booksbyhedberg.com. And thanks for joining me today. And we'll look forward to you picking me up again tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.